You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Ken Gay West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. Edition of Fatal 4-Way Radio. It's great of you to join us tonight. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here kicking back with, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rancho Punk Rock. Albert, welcome back, brother. How you doing tonight?
Oh, it's great, man. I was on a desert island. I was enjoying all this fucking RC cola. I had women around me. Like, it was fucking, like, I was Ric Flair. Fantastic, man, and it's great to be back, but unfortunately, it's back to reality with you guys, so I guess I'm all right.
Also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on, Kevier, maybe
not a lot, can you hear me?
I can, just fine, brother. How you doing?
Cool, yeah. Good. Glad to be back.
We got Ricky on us
tonight? Welcome back, Albert. No, I invited him, but he didn't come through. He said he's watching the White Sox.
No Ricky tonight. No Ricky. We wish him the best wherever he's at. I was kind of hoping he'd be here to have a little Astros moment, but I guess we can resume that next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Also, give it up, ladies and gentlemen, the Swami. What's going on, my friend?
I'm doing all right, my brother. We have lots to talk about, including, you know, the draft center. I already have the draft center set up for the studio, you know.
The Christian from Philly draft center. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Guys, and what a fucking draft we had. I didn't see any major characters changing spots, but we'll get into that with the draft. That's birthdays this week, because we do that here. On Fatal 4-Way Radio, it's October 5th, and we'll start out, oh yeah, October 5th, a woman, we actually talked about her last week, I think we talked about her for her birthday, I went one over, and actually I got lectured by Woke Kevier West on this last week, Kevier, Terry Runnels, happy birthday, Terry Runnels, Terry Runnels, we were talking about her last week, I got lectured last
week.
I did. You missed the lecture. Yeah, go back
and
listen
to that. Because of what, I don't know. We go back and listen to the episode if you want to hear me chew out Chuck about it. I didn't really like seeing
it. Yeah, it was good stuff. You can go back. You put me in
the issue
place,
with right? Her getting canceled, and then it sounded like she was getting shamed a little bit, but I don't know.
And you know, you can go back.
I don't like
and
how all my
shit.
Wrestling people are getting canceled and shit. I just keep.
Man,
I don't know.
Who's next is what I'm left to wonder. Who's next?
Should have canceled,
you know, wrestling
a long time ago. Get him out of here. One strike, you're out.
Yeah, wrestling's a dirty business, man, and everybody has a past, and almost everybody has a dark underbelly as well.
Everybody does, and it's not just wrestlers. I mean, like, I've said some crazy shit in the past that I didn't mean, or I was drunk,
yeah,
or whatever, you know. And it just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know.
No, I'm just saying. You know, it's gonna get to the point where it's like, dude, we're gonna have to start forgiving people. You know, like, you know, I'm not down for, like, you know, racist or anti-Semitic or sexist shit. You know what I mean? But we're gonna have to start forgiving people, because, you know, eventually everybody on planet Earth is going to be canceled.
You know, I mean, speaking about race, man, I mean, I live in an area, you know, I live in Houston, which is the most diverse city on the planet. We have people here from more countries than any other city in the world, all right? And so race is, like, you can't look at shit race here, all right? You might get pissed off because you can't understand them because they're struggling with the language or whatever, but, you know, they're trying. They're trying. And you can't look at what how they came here and how they came about. The fact is, you're paying the money. You're paying the money. You're going to the grocery store, to the gas station, and you're paying the money. And it's, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. It makes the life, the whole thing go round. Because if they weren't here doing what they do, we wouldn't have that money circulating. But you can listen to Full Tilt Boogie, and I understand Christian from Philly. Chuck and Muck was hollering earlier, talking about you guys might get together again this weekend. Is there any truth to that?
Well, yes, there is some truth to that. We're going to talk some political stuff, you know.
Some political
stuff. What's happening in the world.
Yeah. Because it's more than, and right now, it's more than just Democrat and Republican. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy madness going on in the world. And I'm going to talk about it this weekend right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. But guys, getting back to Terry Runnels, it's her birthday, man. It's her birthday. So happy birthday to Terry Runnels. And, you know, I think I even have some Terry Runnels music here, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Do I do.
Did nothing.
Do we, I don't remember.
Did nothing for the good.
That doesn't sound too cool. That doesn't. I like the Gold Dust. When she was coming out with Gold Dust, that was my favorite, man. She was my honey.
Did nothing for the business.
Who could forget, though, that entrance when she was come out with Gold Dust, fanboying Gold Dust and stuff, man? I mean, there was a little sense of, you know, man, I got to go take a shower after watching this. I mean, it was great. But I digress. Terry Runnels, happy birthday. Also today, Zema Ion. You guys remember Zema Ion?
Oh, yeah.
Zema Ion, dark skinned kid.
He's in the NXT.
What name is he using?
He's in that tag team. He's in it in Legado de Fantasma, right?
Wow.
I think.
I don't know.
That's not his name, but that's the name of the tag team.
Christian?
NSK
or something?
I don't know.
NXT is where Jovo Ion these days.
He was on Impact Wrestling, and he was like a DJ or some shit. Yeah.
He was DJ Z before.
I dig him, man.
So happy birthday to him.
I heard he was
San Martino. October 6th, he would 1935, so he would be old as hell right now. Tomorrow, that is.
Nobody would shut the fuck up about Bruno.
Demolition Smash, also birthday on October 6th. Manu, 1984, October 6th. Rhino, you guys remember Rhino? Everybody does. He's still around. Is he on AEW?
Who knows?
I think his last major appearance was on Impact. Yeah, he was in Loco, too, a couple months back. Wrestling, I think. Well, who did he wrestle, Kevin? You remember?
At that show, man, I really don't know who it was. That was, like, the first one that I couldn't be at.
Was it Mil Muertes, I believe, I think?
Possibly,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think Mil Muertes.
I know it was a good match.
I think he's with Eric Young's group in Impact.
Oh. They should all get together with Bray Wyatt and do something special.
Nah.
Bray Wyatt should lead the Nobodies. They should come out to that song from Marilyn Manson. We are the Nobodies. Yeah. I'd be digging that shit.
There was a group already that.
The Nobodies?
No, it was the Social Outcast in WWE. There was already a group like that.
Also October 7th, Caitlyn. Anybody remember Caitlyn? A workout.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was awful. Man. She really was. But they dismissed her not too long.
How would you pick Kaylin over AJ Lee in NXT? Like, how could you do that? Like, the lovely couldn't cut a promo right. She couldn't wrestle. Even her spear was terrible.
I agree. But that's exactly what happened. But, you know, I think this is one of the situations, one of the situations, I might add, where WWE rectified their mistake. And ultimately, you know, the cream rose to the top. And they had no choice but to rectify their mistake. And, you know, give AJ Lee the spot that she was the first woman to close out Raw. And, you look back at it and it's like, holy shit, that could have been Caitlyn if they would have been so fucking the way they are now, you know, as far as pushing people down our throats. Because it's horrific the way they do it now with no shame whatsoever. But back then, obviously, they had a realization. They came to just in time to pull the trigger on her. Because now they've got absolutely no shame. And it's obvious. They're just going to push fucking Roman Reigns all the way. And they've done switch the fucking cast around so that he can go through some new guys. They're going to give him a fresh new hot knife. And they're giving him some new fucking fresh sticks of butter so that he can fucking slice through. But I digress. Caitlin, happy birthday to her. Aiden English, October 7th. And Aiden English, to me, guys, I think, I'm glad this came up because, you know, here's Miro, you know, who has been basking in the glory recently, although now he's no longer champion. And we'll see what ultimately, ends up happening with him. But to me, Aiden English would put Miro over, or Rusev over, with that whole fucking song and shit. I mean, after that happened, and Rusev took off and shit, like, I mean, there was nothing great about him, really. It was just that fucking deal. Then he turned it into Rusev Day and fucking,
He had a following. He had a lot of buzz coming from NXT. I mean, he debuted in the Royal Rumble, man. The crowd didn't pop, but once he started going in there and kicking people left and right, the crowd started popping for him. And so it was that appearance that kind of made him like, you know, he was like an under mid card guy for a while. But yeah, you're right. It wasn't until he was with Aiden English that he started to get over. But yeah, I don't think he wasn't really a nobody up until that point. I don't think.
I mean, not a nobody, but you know what I mean? Like, he was in his right spot, I thought.
Yeah.
I think if it wouldn't have been for this whole thing with Aiden English, I don't think he would have got over the way he ultimately ended up getting over. Christian?
I always thought he was Cesaro's twin brother because they look alike.
They do. Holy shit, they do. I saw a picture of him recently. Is he still married to Eddie Guerrero's daughter?
What?
Isn't he the one that was with Eddie Guerrero's daughter? Charles Guerrero?
Yeah, he is. He was, at least.
Are they still married? Do we know?
I have no idea, but I remember hearing about that.
Kevin, your thoughts on Aiden English and Rusev, the whole dynamic that he added to Rusev and Rusev Day?
Aiden English is from the school of NXT that I love the most, and so like I backed him coming to the main roster. And Rusev was probably my favorite heel from... Yeah, Rusev was probably my favorite heel to come up in his feud against Cena, the whole thing with the tank. I mean, Rusev was over there for me. That was Rusev Day, even though it was like years before it. But then they did this, and I was like mad about it because Aiden English singing giving gate got heat for me, and I was like, this is stupid. But yes, Aiden English is with Shaw Guerrero too. And Rusev is still badass as Miro. Like, Miro's way fucking cool. I'm glad that they changed him from, like, being the little Kip Sabian buddy to being, like, more of, like I was saying, like, the asshole Russian dude, I guess. Like, it's not that hard of a formula, right? So.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Rusev Day. That fucking feud with Dolph Ziggler and fucking Summer Rae and fucking Lana. That wasn't Rusev Day.
Dude, it's so much, and Lana was over, too. Lana was a good gimmick when she started, and they ruined that.
Dude, I mean, that would have been... That was... They could have gone so many ways right there. They could have put Lana and Rusev together and formed a new... A new day type, or new, a modern day, you know, Randy and Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth. They could have started there again, and
here we go,
you know, maybe they decided not to, and maybe it's probably for the best that they went that way.
I hate the fact that we bury WWE booking so fucking much in the show, but it's with good fucking reason. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes bite my tongue because it's so much. And then I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, you know what? Like, they could have fucking sent Rusev to the top. He could have been world fucking champion, like you said, with Lana by his side. It didn't have to be a Mark Merrill fucking stable type thing like they were trying to do, and it didn't fucking work out. And then they just buried Lana. You know what I mean? Like, it would just, it's just. God damn, it pisses me the fuck off. Sorry,
I was
going to
say, like, I can't justify this company anymore, because, like, if you really think about it, any superstar that we've liked who's been in WWE, every superstar in some way has their legs cut out from underneath them. Everybody is, like, throttled and made to be less than what they were originally, like, seen to be. So this brass ring and grabbing your potential and stuff, people can't really do that. Biggie did it. Certain people, they'll do it at one point, but then it'll happen to them again. They'll get a little bit, and then it'll happen again. Look at Drew McIntyre. Look at just everybody. You can pick any person on the roster for the last fucking 10, 15, 20 years, and I bet that they had their gimmick ruined in some way.
Yeah! And Kanye West, by the way, last week, aside from the ass-chewing that he gave me last week, also earned Mark of the Week, which you can listen, and I'm going to even give you the time of this. This happened like at 1:33 in, where Kevier all of a sudden says, you know, that he stopped the pay-per-view. And you can find out what he started watching instead by going and going back and listening to that. Am I right, Kevier? I mean, I was astonished. And it wasn't porn or anything.
Is that a title we get every week, Mark of the Week? I feel like I'm going to get that one a lot. Might not know another song, but I bet I'm the biggest
I
mark.
I just came up with that on the spot. But, yeah, that was really surprising what you mentioned there last week. But, shit, guys.
Mark,
Caitlin.
This
Caitlin
is stupid,
English. What's that? It is.
I said I used to be the biggest mark, but this shit's stupid. I ain't falling for this shit.
It's right? Exactly. You get to a point where it's like it becomes too much already.
And we'll get to the stupidity later with the draft center. What happened on the draft?
It only took Kevin about 2 years of doing this show, maybe a little bit longer, for him to fucking turn to the dark side. What has WWE been doing to people? Making somebody like Kevin just like loathe their fucking product that much. Maybe it was us. I don't know. Maybe it was me, because I used to be a WWE apologist for a very long time. I held out that fucking
I held out.
You know what I mean? I was like, they're going to do something good. They're going to do something good. They're going to do something good.
No, don't put the
it's really just having an alternative, having something
he
else
brings
to watch.
The cauldron
of good
evil to the show.
Having
don't
something
like
that I can compare it to.
We need that cauldron of evil, though, because we need that.
Well,
we
well,
need the reality. And
they all just kind
of
turn heel, you know.
The reality of it is they're booking a shit. Christian.
I deal with facts. I deal with facts.
There you go.
In reality.
The watchdog. That's right, and that's why he's the watchdog, man. He's WWE watchdog. He deals with the facts, and we listen to him right here each and every week on Fatal 4-Way Radio. And we are on our hands and knees, thanking him each and every week right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
No.
What did I ask? Guys, we still have more birthdays, if you can believe that. Paul Burchill, October 8th. You guys remember he had that sick storyline with his sister?
Yeah.
Or a wife or whatever the fuck it was. They made it real creepy. It was too creepy even for me, guys. I mean, that shit was too creepy even for me. King Creep and shit. The Miz.
Paul Burchill with the sister? Katie Burchill?
You don't remember that? You don't remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
They were... it was disgusting. But I digress. The Miz, October 8th. The fucking Miz. One of my favorites. And you know what? He's coming up later in a while, too. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. Christian?
I'm not going to vote for that fucker, right? Fuck him. I'm not voting for him for Dancing in the Stars. That
yeah, do you actually watch that shit and vote for other people?
No, I don't watch that shit, but he goes on Twitter saying, please vote for me. Please vote for me to win. Please.
Well, you know.
I'm desperate.
He wants the WWE to vote for him, and you know, those who watch, and if they like his dancing, they should vote for him, but those who don't watch, like me, I don't watch that shit. And I'm not going
to
watch it just because it's the fucking Miz. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I might get online and vote for him just for the fuck without even watching him dance, just to bastardize it. Just to bastardize it. Why not? I'll be a part of the bastardation process for once. But I digress. Eddie Guerrero would have had a birthday October 9th, 1967.
Yeah.
That means he would have been 53, I think. 54, I don't know. Somewhere around there. Check my math. Also, October 9th.
What would he be? Sorry, catch you on. Maybe we'll have a hypothetical. Where would he be right now if he was still alive?
I don't know.
Where?
You said it's Eddie you're talking about?
Yeah. Eddie.
Involved with AEW probably. He'd be involved somehow. I don't know. I wonder.
And maybe Lucha Underground would still be out, and him and Ray Ray would be, you know, over there running the show, because they would both have
play
equal amounts of, massive money. They would have equal amounts of massive money between them, and probably a network to boot.
You reckon he would have been involved with, like, you know, TNA 2006, 2007 era? You know what I mean? With Kurt Angles like that too? I mean, I could have seen that happening.
There would have come a point where WWE let him go, and that would have been the alternative at the time. So yeah, he probably would have gone to TNA.
Oh man,
no,
I would have loved to show the fucking car show up on that tiny ass fucking stage.
Nope.
Yeah.
WWE, it would be hard to see them let him go.
Listen, you wouldn't go to TNA that dumb.
Yeah, dude, because he was a whole family. You know what I mean? He brought Chavo. He brought his wife to the show. There's a whole freaking family with that guy. So, yeah, his daughter would probably be a bigger star. You know, she would probably be a big star right now. I would imagine.
He would. If Eddie Guerrero was alive today, he would have gone to Triple H, all right?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
But Eddie Guerrero. Happy birthday to Eddie Guerrero. You know who else? Yeah, well, October 9th is, let's see, here we go. Is that the right one?
No.
Steven Richards? What's the stupid song that I have for him? The Right to Censor. Steven Richards. Imagine that for a fucking theme song. Oh, shit.
That's going to be my that's gonna be my alarm in the morning because I can't seem to fucking get up. You know what I mean? So it's gonna change it to my fucking alarm at 6 o'clock in the morning. Have that going on.
Fucked up alarm, man.
Everybody
every
should.
Time we bring up, every time we bring up somebody getting canceled on this show, you need to play that song.
I love it. Yeah, remind me on that for sure. Also, with a birthday, October 9th, Mother Sinister. The woman who gave me life, Mother Sinister.
Hey.
On the birthday, October 9th. That's Saturday coming up. So Mother Sinister, happy birthday to her. Can we get at least
she's
a fucking round of applause?
She's taking the
I should get her to do a segment. have her call in and do a segment. Oh my God. I'd like to get her thoughts on the show.
Shows when you were a kid, dude? Did your parents take you to wrestling shows? Did you watch it? I mean, you had it on TV and stuff?
They did. My mom used to take me to wrestling shows. And then as I got older, I would go by myself. And, of course, I always watched on television every week with my mom and with my stepdad and anybody else who was around. If there was wrestling on, it was going to be on the television. Because that's what I was watching. So, but yeah, happy birthday to Mother Sinister.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, right on. Let's see who else has a birthday. Shit, Dusty Rhodes. Oh my God. We have Dusty Rhodes with a birthday.
Thank you. Wish his daddy happy birthday, Mother Sinister, too. Many more to come, baby.
Dusty Rhodes on hand here to celebrate the birthday. We appreciate that, Dusty. Let's see here.
It's DJ Z, baby. I'm sorry. Just pick a random wrestler.
Shit, Dusty. I mean, we got plenty. We got a few more. We got Rikishi on October 11th, also with Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
We got Taz, Tony Chimmel, Ricochet, Rhea Ripley, Riddick Moss, all on the 11th, guys. That's the most birthdays in one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dusty, you suck.
Oh, hell. Stop it. With this Christian from Philly, he's getting under Dusty's gut there a little bit.
You were one of the worst members of NWO, Dusty. I hope you should know that.
Yeah. Oh.
No, I'll agree with you there. I'll agree with you there, baby. Dusty Rhodes and Virgil were both in NWO. Were they in there at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Funny, right? Because Virgil's name is like a rib on Dusty.
Dusty's dad's name is Virgil.
You don't like Virgil? Me, Christian. You need to suck my muffler, Betty.
Oh, you know what the fuck that means. Why don't you speak English, Dusty? Go to school.
Oh, hell.
Google Dusty Muffler.
Dusty?
Google Dusty Rhodes Muffler, and you'll know what I'm talking about. We'll leave that there.
That's one of the best stories.
Yeah. And Christian, we got a promo on that. We had Kevier West was talking about the muffler one time here on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That
a muffler,
crazy,
baby.
Crazy madness there.
So use the muffler. I bet Rikishi didn't use one.
Oh, man.
Happy birthday, Rikishi.
If
you think they had dinner
use
like
a fucking
at Rikishi's
muffler,
house? Do you think they had dinner at Rikishi's house for his birthday and like and then like they're all getting ready to eat and then Roman comes out. And then Rikishi's sitting there and Roman's like looks at him, he's like, "You're in my seat. You're in my seat, Oos." He's like, "Come on, bro, it's my birthday. It's my birthday, nephew." I said, "Get up, old man." I said, "This reminds me of a story, a little story you used to tell me when I was a little Oos about Jack and the Beanstalk."
Oh, God.
Little Oos Roman used to cry himself to sleep until Uncle Rikishi come in and tuck him in with his big old butt cheeks.
you think they also have, while they're eating dinner, you think they also have a can of Suffer and Succotash with that?
Suffer and Succotash, Oos. Happy birthday, old man. Acknowledge how good the succotash is. Acknowledge the succotash, Rikishi.
Eat some Suffer and Succotash, son.
Wait, Kevin. What voice is that? Is that Roman Reigns?
Roman, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I'm doing a pretty bad Roman.
like a half-ass like Dusty Rhodes.
Roman impression. Albert, you got to acknowledge my Roman impression, man.
You see, I told you, no one can do this but me. Who do you think you are, Kevin? Coming in here.
Believe
on so, I want you to acknowledge me. How is that, guys?
His voice is too, it's too regular. It's not very distinct. Uh-oh. You know, Roman Reigns' voice isn't very distinct. It just sounds like a normal
Roman, no.
You know?
Dear Christian.
It'd really
you will
be like,
acknowledge.
Roman's there and he's like,
You will acknowledge.
Roman's there and Paul Heyman comes
this
in.
This is my
client would like for you to acknowledge him on your birthday.
This is my yard. Believe that.
Oh,
believe
shit.
Believe it.
Hey, well, that's all
this
I'm saying. I am the head of the table.
This is my head of the table. I am the head of the table. I am the tribal chief. This is my yard. And
can anybody do tap?
What?
Taz?
Taz?
Can anybody do Taz?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, you know, this guy out here, I can't, no, that's horrible. Never mind. Just forget I ever fucking
you know
did
this.
That.
I don't know if you know this, Minister, but I'm not Samoan. And I'm from Brooklyn.
Live if you can. Survive. Live if you can. Survive if I let you.
Forget I ever did that first one. Erase it from your history.
Who the hell is that? That's badass. Oh, shit. Fucking Taz. Tony fucking Schiavone. Wait. There's so many here. Fuck. Ricochet, here's the guy who actually, he's coming up in a little while. But shame on what they've done with this guy. Shame on what the fuck they've done with this guy. Rhea Ripley.
Here's your winner. And new. That's my Tony Schimmel impression, sorry.
There you go. I don't have Tony Schimmel. But I do have Rhea Ripley. I like that fucking theme song. I hate what the fuck they're doing with her right now. But
we'll get to that because what they did in the draft, you know, while I'm going to report in the draft center, they've completely fucked everything up. But I'll get to that when I get to that.
Right on. Let's see here. And, you know, we still got a lot of fucking history to go. So that's a good thing that didn't put anything down.
History.
So let's let's see here. Riddick Moss, also happy birthday. So happy birthday to everyone there.
Oh, he's not called,
he's
not called Riddick Moss no more.
No? No Moss?
No, He's called Madcap Ross now.
There you go. There you go. So, shit, let's move into, oh, by the way, that was the happy birthdays. So, happy birthday to everyone. Christian, do you want to do the theme there?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You all are getting fucking old, so eat
we
some
don't
fucking
give
fruit
a
juice.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I was singing and I muted myself by accident.
No, we heard you, buddy.
The history. I guess it'll be the fucking history segment. I guess that counts as retro. Twenty-four years ago today, Brian Pillman was found dead in a hotel room in Bloomington, Minnesota, just hours before the WWF Bad Blood was set to air. He was just 35 years old. Now, Pillman was born in 1962 in Cincinnati, Ohio. His athletic career began not in a wrestling ring, but on a football field, as he played college football as a defensive tackle for the Miami of Ohio Redskins, but they're now known as the Redhawks since then. And so then he went on to do other things. He roommated with John Harbaugh, who is now a coach with the Baltimore Ravens. And despite being a second-team All-American twice, he was undrafted by the NFL. Bunch of sons of bitches. However, he did sign with the Cincinnati Bengals as an undrafted free agent. Now, he won the team's Ed Block Courage Award in 1984 that was cut the following season. He tried to catch on with the Buffalo Bills in 1985 that was cut just before the season began. After that, he played with Canadian Football League's Calgary Stampeders in 1986. And, well, you know, he was there in Calgary, Canada. I mean, what do you think happens next? He began his wrestling career for Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling, baby. He and Stu Hart's son Bruce would form Bad Company and would win their tag team titles twice from April 1987 to July 1988. And to get Pillman over as a babyface, he had his girlfriend, Trissa Hayes, portray his sister so he could come to the rescue of heel wrestlers taunting her. Trissa Hayes, by the way, is best known as ECW's Beulah McGillicuddy. Pillman then returned to the States in 1989 and wrestled as Flying Brian for WCW. He was nicknamed Flying Brian for his innovative Lucha Libre style offense, much in the way Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty were doing. Pillman would hold the United States Tag Team Championship with Tom Zenk for a few months in 1990, and would win the WCW Light Heavyweight Championship in 1991 and 1992. During that period, he feuded with Barry Windham and took on the Yellow Dog persona. Now, this was after leaving a loser leaves WCW match. So he turned heel in 1992 after an injury forced Brad Armstrong to vacate the light heavyweight title. He would chase the NWA and WCW tag team titles with the old rival Barry Windham, then stunning Steve Austin as one half of the Hollywood Blondes. The duo won the titles in March 1993 from Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. and he would go on to feud with the Four Horsemen. The Spring and Summer, their brash attitudes and outright mocking of the Horsemen made the duo quite popular. But the duo would split later in the year. Now, I remember this time, and it was a terrible time in wrestling, for one. However, after spending part of the 1994 in ECW, he returned to WCW as a face, but he eventually evolved into a tweener. He and old rival Arn Anderson teamed up and feuded with Ric Flair in the summer and fall of 1995. Flair would recruit Sting, of all people, for their battle with Anderson and Pillman at Fall Brawl 1995, but it turned out to be a ruse. Pillman, Anderson, and Flair, along with newcomer Chris Benoit, would form the new version of the Four Horsemen. His erratic behavior and strange look, which began to develop around this time, would be a part of his new loose cannon gimmick. And in 1996, early in February, Pillman and Kevin Sullivan fought in a scrap match where the loser would acknowledge defeat by saying they respect their opponent. The match went less than a minute before Pillman said, "I respect you, Booker man." I seem to remember that. Outing Sullivan as a booker for WCW. Eric Bischoff fired Pillman following the event, but believed he would return to the company after some seasoning with the new gimmick. It didn't quite work out that way. Pillman left for ECW and eventually the WWF. Now, after spending a few months in wreaking havoc in ECW, he later went on to become known as Pillman's Got a Gun, with the whole 1996 angle. In late 96, Brian's old tag team partner, Steve Austin, looked to take out Pillman for a good after damaging. What the fuck is this saying? After damaging Pillman's ankle with a chair a few weeks earlier, but Pillman was prepared, he pointed a 9mm pistol at the intruding Austin. No shots were fired, but a few expletives definitely went off. The WWF and Pillman both had to issue apologies the next week. And Pillman would be a part of the last incarnation of the Hart Foundation in 1997. Feuding with Austin, Pillman was in the midst of a feud with Goldust and Marlena at the time of his death. He was scheduled to wrestle Dude Love at Bad Blood in Your House. Pillman was found dead by hotel maids in Bloomington, Minnesota at the hotel he was staying at the previous night. Despite alcohol and drugs being found in the hotel room, an autopsy revealed that it was an undetected heart condition that contributed to his death, the same condition that led to the death of his father. So there you go. His son is now playing homage to his dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's up and coming, I guess. I don't know. Christian from Philly, what can you say about this?
His WWF run was terrible. Compare all his other runs and different promotions. His WWF run was the worst compared to all of them. Like, they treated him like a fucking jobber. Like, he was a loser in WWF. Like, he hardly won matches in WWF. The only feud that he did in WWF was Goldust. And that's about it. The rest, he was treated as a jobber. And another thing, right, the whole Ric Flair and the whole the Horseman thing storyline with Sting, right? That shit made no sense whatsoever. So basically, Arn Anderson was the babyface between Ric Flair, the whole feud, right? Fucking Pillman joins him and it becomes a handicap situation. Then somehow Ric Flair turns babyface from that. Then recruits Sting. But then it was all a fucking trick anyway, and they're all heels. That was fucked up booking. That shit sucked. That booking sucked.
Well,
that shit made no sense.
His wrestling ability was definitely hampered in the WWF. You know, that was after his car accident, and you know, he had to have his ankle reconstructed and his legs were all messed up. So he couldn't move as well as he could, like, say, in his WCW or ECW days. And so that was another contributing factor, I believe, to his lackluster WWF run, you know?
Interesting. Kevier, anything on the loose cannon?
Brian Pillman, more like, Brian, you need to chill, man. I don't know. He's the loose cannon. I don't know. I never watched him on TV. Bad joke. I didn't watch him on TV, so I have no idea. All I know of the guy is, like, what Stone Cold Steve Austin has said about him on his podcast. That makes him sound like a straight badass. Like, he loves the guy. It is cool that he was with which Hart? Bruce Hart? I think
Stu
was his tag team partners.
Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart, I think. So I knew he was part of the Hart Dynasty, but, like, not a major part. But that stuff was probably good. I'd like to go back and watch some of that, maybe. And I like the stuff that his kid's done in AEW. And it's cool that he does kind of pay homage to his dad. If he ever needs a gun, he can borrow arms.
He strikes me as a Hunter S. Thompson type. You know, or you know, he strikes me as that's the way he lives. You know, Hunter S. Thompson type. You know, fucking guns and
fucking
shit.
Out there. But I don't know if you guys saw the Dark Side of the Ring. Brian Pillman, it explained why his, you know, how he had pretty much, I think he had like a handshake deal with WWF at the time, but Vince McMahon and the rest of the bookers didn't know how bad his accident was when he had that car accident, and that he just told them, oh yeah, just my ankle's broken, it'll be fine, I'll be healed up in a little bit, and so they signed him anyway, you know what I mean? But it was actually pretty bad.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, that's that's gross negligence, actually, on the part of WWE. But, you know, that's the way things were done back then.
That's just them acquiring new talent, bro. That's just them saying, nah, we'll buy you with a broke ankle so nobody else can.
I mean, you know, and then
you
put
hear
them on
stories
and
like that. It happened this year. I mean, there's a lot of shenanigans that's been going down with contracts just this year, but, like, that used to be a big part of this shit was, like, the boys would, like, work against the company, like, and negotiate their deals like that. Like, all those guys in the – I mean, up until a certain point, it seems like there was, like, maybe a 10, 15-year period where we didn't see that. And then this year, you had all these people jump ship and go to AEW, and it's like, oh, yeah, you can do that. So, yeah, it's cool.
Exactly.
Anything else on Brian Pillman?
Happy birthday. I mean, RIP. I mean,
Yes, rest in peace, Pillman,
Rest in peace. Yeah, they found him dead today. All them years ago. Let's see here. 22 years ago, at a SmackDown taping in Uniondale, New York, Darren Drozdov was seriously injured following a botched powerbomb by D'Lo Brown.
Damn it.
Darren would suffer two fractured discs in his neck as a result of landing on his head, an injury that initially left him a quadriplegic. Brown attributes this to a freak occurrence, saying it could have happened to anyone on any given night. The match never aired, and no video of the actual injury exists, although Drozdov being taken out on a stretcher became a part of WWF's Don't Try This at Home public service announcements for many years. Following the accident, he was the contributor for WWE's website and their internet program, Bite This. Today, Drozdov lives near his family in New Jersey and requires 24-hour care. So, yeah, that's a shame. He was with Road Warriors, right? He was hanging out with Road Warriors?
Yeah, he was part of that fucking god-awful storyline where fucking, I don't know, Hawk was, or was it Animal? No, it was Hawk. who had real life drug abuse or, you know, real life demons, and they used it in a fucking storyline that was distasteful, and Draws
yes.
was the replacement of the
now.
Fucking World Warrior. The guy sucked as a wrestler, no disrespect.
Very distasteful.
He's not very distasteful.
So, like, wasn't it like Beyond the Mat where they're talking about where it's him like debuting his puke or whatever?
Yeah.
I think it's in Beyond the Mat, and there's like the scene where he comes in and he's like, they're like, "What can you do, kid?" And it's like, it's something like that. Vince is sitting at the desk. And he's like, "Oh, I can make myself puke." It's like that scene we always hear about where they, you know, Vince is interviewing you. What can you do? And the dude's like, "I can make myself puke." And he starts like making it. And Vince is like, "Oh my God, he's going to puke. He's going to puke." Oh! He's like doing commentary to it. It's a cool moment, but it also sucks because that guy, like, just like, that's the first thing he thought of, and he got stuck with a puke gimmick for a while. It's funny.
No, that's Vince's entertainment. That's his idea of entertainment. You know, fucking puke humor,
like
disgusting humor, and it's not fucking great. The guy's a fucking idiot.
No, it's super sad with Jaws. I mean, it's super duper sad what happened. And you don't want to see that happen to any of wrestlers. I hate, like, me just being the kind of guy I am and the fucking kind of worry that I carry for shit. Like, every time I watch wrestling, I'm like, oh, shit, they're going to get hurt. You know, it's in the back of my mind. It's the risk. I mean, that's why, you know, at a certain point, and this is maybe my markout moment, but, like, people calling it fake is, like, offensive at a certain point because that dude got fucking paralyzed. Like, a bunch of people have died, you know. It is choreographed, but it's not fake. You know, this shit, they are actually...
That's crazy that you say what you say because, like, I never think that, oh, my God, they're going to get hurt. Like, I feel like they wouldn't be doing those moves if they, you know, if they didn't know that they could execute those moves.
No, yeah.
You
know
that. But yes, shit happens. I mean, you know, shit does happen, and that's in everyday life. Shit happens, and unfortunately, sometimes shit happens at work. And as good as they are, shit happens. And, you know, we don't know. We didn't see the move because there's no video of it. But
it seems that WWE is taking care of John because we've never heard anything like with the, you know,
right?
with the Owen situation or anything like that. It seems like WWE's done right by him ever since it happened.
I would imagine they probably, you know, built him a house that's comfortable, that where he can reach things.
I bet
D-Lo from, well, no, he's quadriplegic, so.
I feel like I've seen an interview with D'Lo Brown after it happened where, like, it was like a shoot interview where he talked about it. And he wasn't, like, beating himself up about it anymore. But, yeah.
22 years ago, guys. And I kind of thought about, you know, this is Vince Russo. It's Vince Russo. we came real close to having Vince Russo day, but I was afraid Christian would walk on us.
Fuck Vince Russo.
I was afraid Christian would walk on us. But 22 years ago today, lead WWF writers Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara signed with WCW. I'm going to say AEW. Get the fuck out of here. They signed with WCW. And this came just 2 days. 2 days. After Russo, on behalf of the duo, resigned from WWF. The decision allegedly came down to a reduction of workload. And I remember Russo talking about this. He said, like, they were fucking way overworking him, putting way too much shit for one guy at the time, you know, and which I could understand. I definitely can understand that. And so they wanted a reduction in workload with the WWE was introducing SmackDown also just a month earlier, no less. Okay, so the story in part, as written in the October 9th, 1999 edition of Pro Wrestling Torch, states this. So they're saying that less than 48 hours after this shit happened at Raw, what happened was, let's see here, the two scriptwriters behind the rise of WWF Raw to the top of the cable television ratings jumped ship to WCW, is the headline. Now, the said move initiated by Russo blindsided Vince McMahon when he returned from the Europe pay-per-view on Sunday night. Russo had been unhappy with the workload because of the whole SmackDown thing. So less than 48 hours later, after what happened was the debut of SmackDown was 2 months before, and he had contacted WCW the week before, okay? So less than 48 hours later, he was in Atlanta, Georgia, signing a contract to become the head booker. And he was creative director and all this and that shit. It gave him 100% creative control over the storylines and the TV shows. And Bill Bush replaced Eric Bischoff as corporate head of WCW. And that was the only guy that Russo had to report to. Now, when Russo told Ferrara on Saturday that he was negotiating with WCW, Ferrara told Russo that if he was jumping, he wanted to jump with them. So WCW signed them basically as a package deal. Russo informed Vince McMahon of his decision to leave WWF on Sunday night via telephone. Can you imagine? The Sunday
first
night
all,
before Raw? Yes.
First of all, they were not the reason why the WWF was writing. Even if they were writing, Vince McMahon was overseeing it. That's why you didn't have no stupid ideas that WCW had with WWF. That's the reason. Secondly, he's a fucking idiot. He said that SmackDown was too much of a workload. What about fucking Thunder in WCW? A show that shouldn't have existed in the first place. And he said SmackDown was a fucking workload. Vince Russo's a fucking idiot, all right? And so is Ed Ferrara. They're the worst writers. They obviously didn't know what the fuck the wrestling business was. And that's why WCW are fucking idiots, because they should have known this stupidity. Fuck Vince Russo.
What
fuck
about when
Ed
he
Ferrara.
Booked himself to win the championship, no less?
That's the reason why I fuck him, too. And do a fucking telephone.
Those two guys almost killed wrestling, man. They really did.
And now he's on with Dr. Chris Featherstone, who we used to share a spot on that was WrestleCorp. He had his podcast and I had mine. And but he was a doctor at the time. He was just Chris Featherstone. Now he's Dr. Featherstone, and him and Russo have a podcast together. But, you know, they say the cream rises, so congratulations to Dr. Featherstone and Vince Russo on that. And I truck along with my unusual suspects to boot, baby. That's right. I love my unusual suspects, though. God damn it. Nobody
I'm no Vince Russo, bro. What a crazy time. Imagine how pissed Vince McMahon was. Like, I don't know. I know I've seen a million documentaries about when this shit happened, but like you find out these fuckers jump and then it's so cool to think that they just like banded down and they were like, all right, we're just going to change a few things and beat the shit out of them. And they did.
Yeah.
But I honestly, personally, I don't even think he cared that Vince Russo left. I mean, he knew he was shit. He said, well, I used you. You could go ahead. Go destroy my competition. I didn't think he was happy that he fucking left because his competition died because of him. So technically,
right.
Vince Russo did Vince McMahon a favor.
Well, he did an interview on Torch Talk, Pro Wrestling Torch, by the way, Now, that's one of those deals where you can subscribe to that. It's from, I want to say it's Brian Alvarez. And you can subscribe to that. And, I mean, he'll give you some great information beforehand. So, like, if we had a website, we could subscribe and pay this guy. And then he delivers information to you. And based from that information, you can actually write articles and provide them to the public before their public knowledge. You know, so you can be,
that's the dirt sheets, bro.
Yeah, the torch, right? So,
what are
you
talking about? Brian Alvarez?
You have to subscribe to that shit. Well, anyway, he said in an interview that he regretted having to tell McMahon by phone, but logistically, it was impossible for him to see him in person before the Monday morning production meeting that he, you know, was scheduled to attend, which it's understandable, right?
No.
I mean, he didn't give a 2 weeks notice. He basically couldn't do it. He wasn't in a position to do it. It was an now or never type of deal for him.
He was scheduled to attend the fucking WWF meeting, not the WCW meeting.
But anyway, that was that with fucking Vince fucking Russo. Guys, I got to say, I'm disappointed, man. I thought I was going to get a lot more Vince Russo impersonations than what you guys gave me. Shame on you guys. I'm going to have to give you all a fucking boo on that. Where the hell are y'all, guys? You get a goddamn boo?
No, just,
everybody's working against me. Even the production is working against me. I was wanting to hear some more.
Chuck, I got to tell you, bro, don't beat yourself up about it, bro. It's okay, bro. They did the same thing to me in the WWF locker room, bro. Every day, I would come to
you
work. Undertaker. Bro, Undertaker shit in my bag. I went to Wrestler's Court more than anybody in the WWF locker room.
All right, well, shit, well, thank you. Thank you for that. I actually
Wrestler's Court was my idea, bro. Bro, I came up with Wrestler's Court. I gave it to Taker, and, you know. Fucking asshole.
19 years ago. 19 years ago, Vince fucking Russo. Uh-oh. What's the game? No, I'm sorry. 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago, Vince Russo announced that he was going to retire from wrestling when his Time Warner contract expired in 2 days.
What a
now,
fucking liar.
At the time, he was booking for the Australian promotion World Wrestling All-Stars. In an
awful,
unsurprising swerve, he did not retire. In fact, he joined TNA less than a year later after a brief stopover back in the WWE.
Secretly, by the way. Fucking lying company, Dixie Carter, lying to Spike TV saying that they didn't hire Russo when they gave the wrong email. Prince Russo gave them the wrong email, and instead of giving it to Dixie Carter, they gave it to Spike TV, and that's why Spike TV canceled their fucking channel deal, because they're lying sacks of shit.
Terrible.
That's awful.
Terrible.
I remember that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I vaguely remember hearing about that, and it sounds something that sounds like something Vince Russo would do, you know, like.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's what Dixie Carter might do, but yeah, like I don't understand Dixie Carter's obsession with. I didn't understand Dixie Carter's obsession with Vince Russo. I'll never fucking get it, but whatever.
I mean, it's some real carny shit.
You want to know the obsession? Because she's just as bad as Vince Russo because she doesn't understand the wrestling business. She was a terrible businesswoman. She didn't pay her fucking wrestlers. She didn't understand the fucking business, and she almost made the company go bankrupt multiple times. She couldn't keep a fucking deal. She had to change every fucking wrestling channel. She sucks. She's just as bad as Vince Russo. That's why she's obsessed, because they're both the same person. They suck.
I got to move along with this, guys. Shit, we still have a few more histories. It was that's good shit there, Christian. 17 years ago, though, at a SmackDown taping in Boston, Massachusetts, Carlos Colon Jr., also known as Carlito, makes his WWE television debut and defeated John Cena to win the WWE United States Championship.
Of course, he debuts, clean.
He debuts in Boston, his Cena's alleged hometown or whatever the hell, where he's built from, and takes the title from him. Christian?
Of course, it wasn't fucking clean, because God forbid you could get clean wins. He had to get help with his fucking bodyguard, Jesus.
Damn, I don't even remember Jesus.
Fucking bodyguard. One point there was a story where they said that Carlito stabbed John Cena in the fucking kidneys in a fucking nightclub.
I seem to remember that. Another distasteful, faceless. But yeah. Debuts in Boston and beats John Cena. Those were the days where they did that kind of shit. And you'd get fucked over in your hometown. Vince McMahon had a real hard-on for that type of shit. I mean, he even made JR kiss his ass in fucking Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That's how he was rolling.
Zach, fuck you, Oklahoma.
That's how he was rolling. We got a few more, but I'm going to skip through them. But wait. 12 years ago on Raw from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, The Miz beat Kofi Kingston to win the WWE United States Championship.
That's not really an achievement.
This was Miz's rise, though. I'll tell you what I remember this. Because this was where he started rising to the top. After that, he got like the fucking tag team championship with somebody. And he was sporting two championships.
The fucking Big Show in one of the worst tag teams ever.
Show Miz. What? Miz. Or was it the Miz Show? Show Miz. Anyway, he had those two titles, and then it catapulted him to the pinnacle of WrestleMania, his spotlight in WrestleMania, which came as he didn't even get that clean.
That shit sucked. That match sucked. His entire WWE run sucked.
What example did you just give, Kevin? What example was that you gave Kevier where he couldn't do it clean, or what was that, or just a little while ago?
I don't recall. I don't know what you're talking about.
Somebody said something about he couldn't do it clean or something like that. They couldn't give this shit to him clean, you know?
A clean finish.
A clean finish, you know, he had to have The Rock come in and help him. And
right.
Yeah.
The rest is history. And that's WWE, typical WWE shit for you. They made him look like such a badass up until he got the freaking title. Because I was like, man, it was one of those slow burns, okay, guys? I remember it vividly. It was a slow burn. All of a sudden, he changed his fucking tights and shit, or from the long, ridiculous shorts that he was wearing to all of a sudden he's wearing tights with the pads and shit. You know, the way Vince McMahon likes. and shit. And then then he wins the U.S. title, and then they put him with the show Miz Show or whatever that, and win the fucking gold there. So he's sporting around two titles, and then he gets catapulted into the big picture. But he had to have the help and shit. They, right there is where, like, you know, you obviously had to see that the Miz had reached his glass ceiling. Like, he wasn't a dominant title carrier. He was just a flash in the pan type deal for, you know, whatever the fuck, their ratings or whatever the hell. And it's terrible because he's fully capable, in my opinion. He is fully capable of carrying the load. But, you know, they won't give it to him. Alex Ryan was also capable of doing it, but they didn't give it to him. But I digress. It's fucking WWE, and it's a bunch of fucking bullshit. And, you know, I got one more, guys, if you can bear with me, because this is going to actually delve into fucking where we're going with the draft when we come back from commercial after this. But it was 12 years ago today, no less, at an Impact. Sorry. No, we're not doing that one. I'm sorry. It was 7 years ago today at a Lucha Underground taping in Los Angeles, California. Prince Puma defeated Johnny Mundo in Aztec Warfare to become the first Lucha Underground champion. Prince Puma. It's a freaking shame the way, you know, the way he's being booked right now. Actually, he's not even on TV right now. Hasn't been on TV in at least a month. I'm talking about fucking Ricochet here. Christian.
Yeah. It's because he's fucking boring. That's why. He has no charisma.
Both of them.
He's a great wrestler. He's a great wrestler, but when it comes to fucking charisma, he has nothing. He's fucking dull. He's a dud.
Anybody?
I think both of them. I mean, Ricochet is one thing, but then Johnny Mundo is Johnny Drip Drip, you know? So, I mean, he could have been brought back in. I think that
no more.
There was a point in his career where, like, they could have, in his indie career, they could have brought him back in as, like, what they brought Drew back in as a main eventer, like, from the indies again. So, like, Johnny, what was he called whenever he was TNA?
Impact.
Yeah. He has like a bunch of different Johnny Mundo, Johnny Rockstar. Like, he has one that's like, forget what it was, but that's whenever he was like at his most badass. And then that's when
Johnny
the
Impact.
Yeah,
yeah.
Johnny I think even in the Impact Zone he was that. Yeah. So it was whatever he was before that. I think Johnny Mundo, I guess, most people are thinking of.
I think that. And you know what? I'd like to say, you know, he's got charisma, man. It's just maybe, you know, not as much charisma as, say, you know, The Rock or something, but he's not like, you know, like Kevin said, like, he's not like Ricochet or something. Just like, you know, like, he's got his gimmick. He works the fans. He's over with the fans. You know, if you're watching live, you know what I mean? Like, the kids love him. You know, he's just one of the guys. But, yes, I totally agree. Like, his booking coming back from Impact or the Indies or even, like, coming back from Lucha Underground, man, like, this guy should have been in fucking main eventer. If they stuck him back with the Miz, you know what I mean?
Wait, hold on.
Whatever.
Are we talking about Johnny Impact? I said Ricochet has no charisma.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah.
I know.
My bad. I went off on a tangent, too, but yeah, I understand.
I was just saying that not just Ricochet, both of these guys were in this match. And it was the first Lucha Underground championship match or whatever. And Lucha Underground was badass. Both of these guys were running the show. And then, you know, they get brought back to WWE and totally shit on.
Wow. Yeah, and that's just about the way it is.
Not
and,
really totally
you know,
shit on. Like, Johnny Mundo, John Morrison, like, has a good career in WWE now. But he could
TV
be a little tougher. And Ricochet,
yeah,
too. Ricochet started wearing the fucking black pants that the people were wearing. What were they called? The ones we used to hate, Retribution. He started dressing like them after their gimmick broke up. And I was like, why did they take this high flyer and start making him wear black jeans all the time? Just stupid things like that. They don't let him talk. They make him lose all the time. They make his gear boring. They're doing it
and
on purpose.
The Raw Report and WWE Draft Center with Christian from Philly is coming up. But first, we're going to go ahead and take a freaking break here because we've been going for a long-ass time. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. And when we do, we're going to wrap up, and we're going to wrap up strong. So let's do that now.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Dan Severn up to these days?
Last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray t-shirt around town.
Yeah. going from city to city with that music playing
in the
background.
Wrist tape stuff.
Ding, ding,
he's
ding,
like, hey, y'all sell wrist tape? And he like walks into a Walgreens and sells wrist tape. They're like, no, sir, sorry. Just like a buff fucking Freddie Mercury, I guess. He is the buff Mercury. Yeah. Dan Severn's probably one of our favorite
wrestlers. We have
that's
a
song
here. So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news.
Imagine being Dan Severn's kids and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat and this song starts fucking playing and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking great t-shirt smoking
sweat. I think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like, because they perk up, like they turn extra black and everything. I wouldn't fuck with that dude. There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, but that's one that I would not fuck with.
I was like one of these fucking dudes that like you walk up to him, you cuff him, and he'll punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking, he's a fucking Popeye.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy. So future generations can enjoy too.
Welcome back, Fatal 4. Right on. I'm the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Kevier West and the Swami. Albert Inspector has bounced, and we wish him the best and hope that he's all right. So let's continue with the Raw Report, which is also going to contain, and here comes Albert Inspector. Yes. Is that Vince Russo?
Hey, I got the boot. I can barely hear you guys. What's going on?
Welcome back, Albert Inspector. We're just in time for the...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly, with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special event that only happens only a couple of years for special occasions. Welcome to the draft center. I have the draft desk right here where we will discuss what happened on the draft on both SmackDown and Raw. But before we go with the picks, we must discuss what happened on the show, right? So, the only thing that was mentioning on SmackDown before the pick was the fact that Roman Reigns, again, the tribal bit, had another boring promo and the same old bullshit. No explanation about what happened with the whole Finn Balor shit. Finn Balor didn't even show up last week. So Finn Balor's dead. That gimmick's dead. And then here comes the Beast. And basically, they did the same shit they did with the last few weeks, the last week or two, where Brock Lesnar beat the Chef, Roman, and then the Usos, and that's about it. So good luck seeing this for weeks and weeks until the fucking show in Saudi Arabia, because it's going to fucking repeat itself. So what are your thoughts about the tribal bitch and the fact they legit did the same thing with the whole Brock Lesnar shit and the Madison Square Garden bullshit? Gentlemen,
I think that we're on this course where we already know where everything is going. So I mean, we can just project how everything is going to go at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it just seems like it's downhill with Roman Reigns at the helm, and he's just, you know, stomping over everyone, and they've shifted the cast, and now he's going to go through the next, you know, rotation. That's where I think we're at.
What about you, Kevin?
No, I'm just cashed out. I was watching,
Kevin?
I started each show. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, cool, yeah. So I was just saying, I'm cashed out on it. I don't
Am I off the air?
Chuck, can you hear me?
Minister?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Confused about what you're saying.
No,
anyways, no. Fuck Roman. Fuck SmackDown. Fuck Facebook. Fuck WWE. I agree with you, Christian. I haven't been watching the shit. I watched it a little bit. I watch the highlights. I see stuff that pisses me off, and I turn it off. It's not, like, affecting me that bad, but it's, like, really every week for the past 3 weeks, I'm, like, watching this shit for the show. And I'm like, man, this is stupid. I don't really have to watch this. So that's kind of how I feel about WWE.
All right. Now we got to discuss Monday Night Raw. We're here at Monday Night Raw, gentlemen, already. And, all right, here we go. The first thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, draft two, okay? I'm going to say the picks for the final part of the report. But let me tell you guys right now, I cannot stand Becky Lynch anymore. What they've done with Becky has been total garbage. She opens the show doing nonsense, saying that she wants to be Becky Two Belts again. And she talks gibberish. It gets worse because Charlotte comes out and we have the two same women we've seen years talking with each other. Then the third wheel comes out, Bianca Belair, she comes out, she talks some shit, and then Becky acting like a 5-year-old, like instigating a fucking school fight that happens outside of a fucking playground, instigating a fight like she's some kind of 5-year-old. Wow. This is the fucking man, by the way. The badass man character. Becky Lynch sucks. She sucks of a fucking heel. She absolutely sucks. Her promo sucks. She's not that good of a wrestler. I never liked Becky Lynch. She's over fucking rated. I'm sorry. She fucking sucks. What are your thoughts, Minister?
At least he said he's sorry.
I mean, you know, I think that the whole thing with Becky Lynch is she tried her best to be the heel. But she can't do it. Or, I mean, no, not that she can't do it. I take that back, by the way. That was said wrong. She can't do it because the fans won't let her. they are going to cheer for her regardless of how shitty she's being. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it has to be a, she has to be a tweener from now on. An ugly tweener. Or a full-blown baby face. I mean, where were you at with this, Kevier?
It's not Becky's fault necessarily. It's like it's their fault because it's always a shakeup. It's always this stuff doesn't get like any kind of long term good booking. Like she mentioned this week. She said, you know, I never technically lost my title. So you know that's the longest term. That's the only thing long term booking wise they've done with Becky, where she mentioned that one time. But other than that, like she shows up and takes the belts off this chick. They were in the middle of like three different storylines. And all the storylines, like, got switched up all at the same time. And it's just, that's what it is. That's what the draft is. That's what the show is. Not just the draft. It used to just be once a year the draft would happen and things would get shook up. Now it's just like any time somebody can come back, drop what you're doing, and let's put the title on them all of a sudden and not really have storyline backing it up and stuff. I mean, you got people that are probably trying really hard to have character development, like Charlotte. And then you got Becky in a position where she just has to do what they're telling her or something. I don't know. I think Becky is rusty as fuck. I agree with Christian. Like, Becky is not as cool as she was. Like, she's not as cool as she was 5 years ago. And that was a long time.
Yeah.
What about you, Albert? Are you still with us?
I'm having technical difficulty. I can barely hear you guys. And the call, I had the call drop. So, yeah.
Well, you're back. We can hear you. We can hear you perfect.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so what are your thoughts?
You can try to call back if you want to, buddy.
But I haven't been watching much of Raw, but I was digging it. You know what I mean? I was digging what I saw from Becky. I guess you know you guys you know have differing opinions, but I'm digging it. Maybe she is a little rusty in the ring, but you know that'll wear off.
No, I'm digging what I'm seeing. I'm digging what I'm seeing, bro. Totally. Like she's playing her heel part great.
It
she's
sucks.
Saying what she needs to say. No, I think she's doing great at that. She's saying what she needs to say and everything, but just the fans. They're fucking ruining it for her by fucking cheering for her. She can't fucking help that.
Yeah.
She's being a real fucking bitch out there. Listen to the things she's saying. It's the fucking Mark fans that are fucking it up. And that's where I'm at with that character. That's where I'm at with that character. I'll call out the fucking Mark fan.
The Cody Rhodes syndrome.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
So, continuing on, we had fucking awful matches, all right? We had a pointless U.S. title match between Jeff Hardy. Spoiler alert, Jeff Hardy didn't fucking win. Who cares? Jeff didn't fucking win.
He didn't win. He didn't win, and then what else at the end of the match? Christian, what happened at the end of the match after the Damian Priest and Jeff Hardy match?
Austin I'm worked
Theory
out.
Comes out, makes his fucking debut.
It wasn't even that. That does happen. That does happen. But, like, Damian Priest, like, picks Jeff Hardy up and Jeff's like, thank you so much. Jeff's like, oh, thank you so much, man.
That's the
like,
limit.
They've been fucking feuding
this
over
fucking...
this fucking belt for weeks, dude. I was like, Jeff, you are such a bitch, dude. I was so happy with what happened after that because Jeff is just a big bitch now.
Jeff
I want him to be cool, but he's not
cutter.
Cool.
This is fucking stupid. He's too cookie cutter. And then Austin Theory comes out. Who cares about fucking Austin Theory, all right? This guy's a fucking failure. You know how many factions this guy's been a part of? And he's been the worst member out of all of them? Fuck Austin Theory. So after that, we have, you know, we had the draft and all that. Then we get Goldberg, okay? Oldberg comes out, cuts a fucking promo, saying he's going to kill Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley comes out. He accepts Goldberg's challenge under one condition and be a no-holds-barred match. So it's Goldberg versus, it's Oldberg versus Lashley, at Saudi Arabia, crown jewel, no holds barred. And guess what? The Hurt Business, or, you know, the watered down Hurt Business, still are fucking shit. They can't get the job done. They both get their asses whooped by Goldberg after the end of the segment. And then they lose to the New Day afterwards. So
wow.
Let me ask you.
Was this on Raw or
point
SmackDown? Because I didn't watch
Raw.
Either. No, wait.
Raw,
I watched SmackDown. I didn't watch SmackDown. Okay. No, I did not watch Raw. I changed the channel, Christian. We were texting there at the beginning. And 30 minutes in, I changed the channel. I was like, oh, fuck this shit. So Goldberg came out, is what you're telling me.
Goldberg came out. He said it's a good problem.
This,
he wants to sell Lashley.
What I get from this, guys, is that here we have all last week. I saw a couple of articles or maybe a YouTube video here or there, whatever the hell I saw. And it was Big E talking about how he wants to, you know, take out Goldberg. And he wants to be next and shit. And so, you know, and now we have, instead, it's Bobby Lashley.
Again.
I mean, what the fuck is this shit?
It's Crown Jewel. I don't know. It's the worst time of the year. Crown Jewel is bullshit, too. Don't get me started.
It's horrible.
So that's where we're at, you know.
Yeah. And the Hurt Business.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
And then this leads to fucking Survivor Series, which is the worst pay-per-view for me. I mean, I hate that shit. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Christian?
And then the fucking Hurt Business, who come out of nowhere and they're already fucking ruined. Why are you disgracing the legacy of the Hurt Business by making them look more like bitches?
No.
Yeah.
I missed it. Tell me about it.
The only way I can see that working is if they turn on Lashley at a very crucial moment, like they're getting back at him. That's the only way it's going to fucking work, dude. But if not, Shelton Benjamin and the other guy, I forgot his fucking name, they look like total bitches. You're right.
The only way I can see is if MVP turns on Lashley with them, but who gives a fuck about this at this point? But yeah, so yeah, it's Goldberg versus Lashley. Who fucking cares? Then we get the fucking tag champs, the women's tag championships versus Natalya and Tamina. They retain, and let me tell you something right now, right? The women's tag division is fucked, all right? Because of what happens in the draft. And I'll explain that later when we go to the draft, all right? I'll explain that later. So then we get Seth Rollins, another guy, just like Becky, I can't fucking stand. I can't stand this fucking guy no more. He had one segment on SmackDown last week, which I thought was going to be fucking cool, but guess what? He dropped the fucking ball on that, where he invaded Edge's house on SmackDown last week. We never had a home invasion in a while. And I thought, man, I thought this was going to be fucking epic. I thought this was going to be cool. But no, it wasn't fucking epic. It was fucking lame. Seth didn't do fucking nothing. All he did was went into their house, ate the fucking apple, and sat down on their furniture. Wow. Just fucking wow.
He had like a
full
life.
Wow.
He had like a stupid line when he opens the fridge. He opens the fridge and he's like, oh, orange juice. And I'm like, is that a fucking joke? Like, are you trying to make a joke right now? Yeah, it's fucking orange juice.
It was fucking amateur hour, man. It was amateur hour. It was poorly done. The whole fucking segment was poorly done. And whoever fucking was the backstage producer and whoever directed that segment should be fucking looked at. Or looked into, because they're fucking doing a horrific fucking job. Having the fucking resources WWE has, and you're going to put out a fucking shit product like that? Come on, man. That's where I'm at with that shit.
Hey, you know what?
You know,
I saw that segment, man.
You know, it's insulting.
I saw that. I saw it. I thought it was fantastic. I drank all the orange juice. I ate all the apples. I sat down on a couch.
I love it.
He couldn't rip off Edge's children's fucking art. Like, he couldn't destroy a few property in the house. Like, whatever happened to the days when Triple H destroyed Randy Orton's house? Whatever happened to when Triple H threw Randy Orton through
art.
A fucking window?
He should have taken some of that art and started just maybe chewing on it a little bit while he's talking.
Should have wiped his ass with it. Should have wiped his butt with it. That would have been hilarious.
Something fucking heinous. That's exactly what I wanted.
I'm going to go to the bathroom, Edge. I got to find your downstairs bathroom, Edge. It turns out you're out of toilet paper, Edge. Luckily, I have these cute little drawings, Edge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love it.
If only. But no, we got what we got.
No, it's awful. And then he comes in Raw. He talks bullshit. He talks gibberish. I hate his fucking promo. They fucking ruined Seth Rollins. I used to respect him. Now he's a fucking clown, all right? He's a fucking clown. I can't take him seriously anymore. I can't take him no more. He's obnoxious. He's obnoxious to look in the fucking ring. He's horrible. And fucking Becky followed his fucking fur coat for the main event segment on Raw, so there you go. So, Steph, have you eaten all the apples again?
Steph, have you eaten all the apples and drank all the orange juice again?
Bro, Steph, listen to me, Steph. This is me, Vince. I'm going to call you up tomorrow morning, but I got an idea for you, Steph. Go to Edge's house, grab the apples, eat the apples, look at the orange juice, Steph. It's going to be fantastic. Vince McMahon's going to hire me back in an instant. I promise you, bro. I promise you. Listen to me. It's going to be television gold, bro.
Hey, brother. This is Hulk Hogan, brother, and I just wanted to say I see you eating all them apples and drinking all that orange juice, and it's got a lot of vitamins in it, brother. It's real good for you. Keep it up.
And I'm just wondering what the fuck Stone Cold Steve Austin
Only real man drinks fucking apple juice, son. What? You gotta eat that apple, what?
What?
Apple day keeps the doctor away, what?
You gonna eat one apple? You gonna eat two apples? You gonna eat three apples?
What?
You gonna eat four apples, five apples, six apples, drink a whole gallon of orange juice, whatever the hell it takes? Kick a stop a mud hole in some kindergarten drawings.
Listen here. Listen, you stupid yellow little Betty son of a bitch. How do you say it? Yellow Betty? I can't even say it like Steve. Listen here,
yellow Betty son of a bitch.
Don't make me open a can of Minute Maid orange juice on your bitch ass.
So Randy Orton throughout the entire night for 3 hours challenged Omos to a fucking match. God forbid, that would be fucking awful.
So the episode was snake heavy.
Horrible. So
Omos comes out with snake heavy.
No, it wasn't. So Omos and AJ comes out. They talk a promo and the match never happens. There was no fucking match, so it was a waste of fucking time.
Boo.
So good for you. So then the main event happens. It's Bianca versus fucking Charlotte. It was an okay match. Of course, Bianca can't beat Charlotte clean. It has to be a fucking DQ. Becky Lynch interferes, pulls her, and then Bianca looks like a fucking fool. She looks like a fucking fool. She gets hit by a rock bottom, and then Sasha Banks comes out and attacks Becky, and both Becky and Bianca look fucking down, and Bianca again is getting fucking buried by all fucking three horsewomen. She can't beat Charlotte clean. She gets her ass kicked by Becky, and then she gets her ass kicked by Sasha. Great. Great job.
I'm gonna relax on this storyline because I actually think that in the end we're going to get something. We're going to get a star. I actually think
we're going to do this one right
and that we're going to get a star.
Not.
I got faith. got faith in this, so we'll see how it develops.
No, no, we're not because of the draft. Do you not understand the circumstances of what the draft did for the fucking Saudi Arabia pay-per-view? Because this, I'm going to explain why. We're not going to get a fucking star, and I'll explain why.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Uh-oh.
So, now we go to the draft. Because this fucking draft fucking fucked the Saudi pay-per-view over, by the way. These picks make no sense, and they basically gave away the outcomes for these fucking matches and this pay-per-view. All right, so for SmackDown, right, the first day of the draft, right, here are the picks. The draft center begins. The first pick for Raw, right, round one was for Raw. Round one got, of course, the WWE champion, Big E, because he won the WWE title. So that was predictable. The second pick was Bianca. Bianca's up Raw right now. Remember, Bianca is in a triple threat match.
Ooh.
Remember this. Bianca's in a triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's title. The first pick for round two for Raw was RK-Bro. Predictable. They're the Raw tag champ. The second pick for round two was Edge for Raw. Okay, Edge is going to Raw. That's bad. You know why that's bad? Because Edge is a fucking part-timer. He's not going to stay fucking full-time. So Raw got fucked. The third pick, of course, nothing new. Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash. Who cares? Their second pick for round three was the Bearcat, Keith Lee, who, again, did not show up this week on fucking television. Who cares?
Even though
about
he was
that?
Drafted, he didn't show up.
What,
they just
show
showed a picture of him?
They showed a picture of him, so fuck off, Keith Lee. And for the final fourth round for day one for the Raw side of the draft for day one, was the Rey and Dominic Mysterio, who cares, and Austin Theory. By the way, there were some NXT people in this draft, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Here are the extra picks, right, that was not televised for Raw, right? Raw got Nia Jax, Drake Maverick, Reggie, Selena Vega, Akira Tozawa, Alpha Academy, R-Truth, John Morrison, Dewdrop, Apollo Crews, and Commander Aziz. Wow, the bottom of the fucking barrel. These picks are the bottom of the barrel.
And where does Elias stand in all of this?
I don't know where the fuck Elias is. He suddenly dropped off the face of the earth. They were doing fucking vignettes for him every week, and now they suddenly stopped, and he suddenly disappeared without no trace. Well, we go to the second day, which is the second draft, which is last night's show. For Raw, we had Becky Lynch, because she spoiled it for a stupid segment for the beginning of the show. She spoiled it. Bobby Lashley for Raw.
Hold on. One second here. What the hell's with that music, man? I feel like I'm walking into a fucking foot massage parlor here, Chuck. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. So.
Continue. Great comment there. Hold on.
So for the second round, Raw got Seth Rollins and Damian Priest. Well, of course, Damian was going to stay because he's the U.S. champion. So that's dumb, you know. And what the fuck is Seth Rollins going to do in his fucking terrible dad?
I know.
The third round for the Raw, they had AJ Styles and Omos and Kevin Owens. You do realize, right, that Kevin Owens is going to leave in a few months. So I don't really care about Kevin Owens going to Raw.
It sounds like we're on hold with World Generation Podcast Network customer service.
Yeah. So for the fourth round of the draft on day two, Raw got the Street Profits and Finn Balor. Who the fuck cares about Street Profits? And especially, Who gives a fuck about Finn Balor at this point? The guy is fucking buried. The demon's fucking dead. The guy, there's nothing to this guy. I don't care if they have major plans for him on Raw. I don't give a fuck. The guy is fucking dead. All right? He's not fucking happy. I don't believe in him no more. And I have no investment in this fucker no more. I have none. None. The fifth round, Raw got Karrion Kross and Alexa Bliss. Who cares? And the sixth round,
wow.
The sixth round, they got Carmella and Gable Stevenson, the Olympic gold athlete that they just hired, who basically didn't have no training, and they just randomly put this guy in the fucking draft for no reason whatsoever. I don't know why. They just hired this fuck, and they put him in the draft. And people are supposed to fucking care? Here
Bro,
are the additional drafts.
The real question is, how are they going to have two, like, guys named Gable? What the hell are they doing with Gables? With the what, they got a guy named Gable. They hired a new guy named Gable. They're both, like, Olympic wrestlers. Like,
he's
what are the odds? Like, WWE, like, I thought we already hired this guy. Yeah, go
the other guy is just
going to
be Chad now.
We don't want to go into AEW. Let's sign him up again.
It's like,
and they're like,
it is like
two
AEW, though. It's AEW. They got Gage, Christian Cage, the other Gage,
yeah, that's what
Ryan Gage. They got Adam Page, or has no other Page, but, you know, I don't think it matters anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we talked about that a few months ago, too. You know what I mean? Interject there, but just bring up a little point we had a few months back. I thought it would be cool, you know, to have situations like that where they just sign, like, unknown people. You know, or like indie wrestlers, but they have like, you know how like the NFL does it, where it's like they're sitting at home.
Yeah.
They just have like a camera like in there, you know what I mean? Like a camera with like their family and shit. You know, they're just like, oh shit, I'm going SmackDown,
that
everybody.
Was
like,
that
would have
been
better.
Cool.
If you signed that Gable guy like that, that would have been way better.
What the fuck is that music in the background?
Is that Albert's
theme music?
Yeah, we're on hold.
I don't know. But continuing on, we had the extra few non-televised picks for Raw. We had Dana Brooke, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Jackson Riker, Veer, Liv Morgan, Mia Yim, Tamina Snuka, Tegan Knox, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, and the fucking Miz. Now we go to fucking SmackDown. Now we go to the SmackDown side of this shit. Are you ready for SmackDown? Here we go. We go to fucking SmackDown. SmackDown for the men's. We had Roman Reigns. Day one of the draft. Roman Reigns, obvious. Drew McIntyre.
Oh my
obvious.
God, who the Kofi hell
Kingston.
Cares?
Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, they broke up the New Day again. People were upset about that. Happy Corbin Great. And Madcap Moss, who cares? The fucking
Boo.
Hit Row.
So dick some respect.
Fucking Hit Row, a group of NXT wrestlers who are not fucking ready to come to the main roster from NXT. All of them are fucking shit except for Isaiah Swerve, by the way. I watch these people. They're not fucking good wrestlers, except for Isaiah Swerve. Jeff Hardy gets drafted to SmackDown. Jimmy and Jey Uso. King Nakamura. Rick Boogs. Sheamus. Ivar, the Viking Raiders. Who cares? They're not even on fucking TV most of the time. Ricochet, again, who cares? He's not been on TV most of the time. Carrillo, Angel Garza, Cesaro, another guy from NXT, Rich Holland, which
oh my
he's not
God.
Fucking
who
ready either.
Who the hell cares?
Another guy who's not fucking ready. Sami Zayn, Drew Gulak, Mace, Mustafa Ali, Mansoor, Jinder Mahal, and Sankey. For the female side, we have Charlotte Flair, who's the Raw Women's Champion, by the way. B-Fab, you know, from history.
No!
Naomi, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Zia Lee, a girl from NXT, I really don't care. Aaliyah, another girl from NXT, I don't care.
I don't.
Toni Storm, Shotzi Blackheart, and Natalya. And let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something right now for these picks. They have fucked everything up. First of all, the year is all alone. He broke up with Jinder Mahal and Shanky, so that's one of the trio gone. They're separated. So is Mason T-Bar, right? But here's where the fuckery really begins, right?
Yeah.
As of right now, there is only one fucking team in the women's tag team division. Because they just broke up Natalya and Tamina. Uh-huh. They just broke them up by splitting them in the draft. And they just split up Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. So guess what? There's only one fucking team left in this abysmal women's tag division. And that's Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross. So congratulations, women. You're going to be the tag team champions forever because there's not a single tag team left. They split up every fucking tag team at this point. They're the only ones left. What kind of tag division is this? Your thoughts, gentlemen, before I continue, why this draft sucks.
Tune in next week. That's what they want you to do. They want you to tune in next week and see how they fix it. See what they do. See how they.
No, they don't realize.
Nah, I mean, I'm sure they have
a plan. Shit.
I'm sure they have tag teams planned. They got to have groups that they're planning on matching these chicks up with. But
no, they don't.
But yeah, I say that, but it's probably true. You're probably right. I say that they got to have a plan, but they probably don't. It doesn't matter because we're just going to get like the same handful of matches every week and they'll just have to like kind of figure it out over the course of 6 weeks instead of, you know, like right away. They'll just kind of like figure it out with little bitty segments like the 24/7 title.
Yeah. But, okay, but here's the reason why this draft fucked the pay-per-view Crown Jewel majorly. We have
a fucking
triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's. What?
All right, we're still on the air. Okay, continue,
okay.
Please.
We got 8 minutes. 8 minutes on the air.
Okay, right. we have a triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's Championship in Saudi Arabia, and Becky Lynch and Bianca are drafted to fucking Raw. The only one in that fucking triple threat match who's drafted to SmackDown is Sasha. Who the fuck you think is winning that fucking triple threat match? Fucking Sasha. They gave away the fucking outcome to this triple threat match 2 weeks in advance because of this stupid fucking draft. What?
She's the only one getting drafted to the show.
Oh my God! You gotta be fucking kidding me.
They would really make these kind of mistakes, I guess. I mean, you think that there's like another way it could go? Do you think that like another one of the girls could have the title and just change shows or something?
Man, bro, if that fucking happens, I mean, technically, I'm already done. I mean, you know, I switched the channel last night, 30 minutes in. And didn't even bother watching the fucking, you know.
I only watched the first Crown Jewel. I've never watched anything after that they've done in Saudi Arabia. I'm not looking forward to those shows at all. And no, I think
you know
back,
what?
I watched the Greatest Royal Rumble or whatever. And it was trash too.
Another outcome they made obvious is the WWE title match between Big E and Drew McIntyre. Guess what? That outcome is obvious, too, because there's no way Drew's winning the fucking belt because Big E's drafted to Raw and Drew's drafted to SmackDown. So guess what? That outcome's fucking given away 2 weeks in advance.
Bastard.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Thanks, Draft. RK Bro ain't fucking losing the tag titles to AJ and Omas. Fuck no. Fuck that. Roman's not losing to Brock Lesnar. Nope. Fuck that. Goldberg's burying fucking Bobby Lashley. What's really to look forward to in this fucking Saudi show? Really? They fucking ruined the Saudi show because of the draft.
It's gonna be Brock and Roman in Saudi, and you think that Brock's gonna lose Roman at that show?
Yes. There's no fucking way that they're gonna.
How do you think he's
Brock
gonna lose?
Paul's gonna cost Lesnar the match, and then Roman's still the champ. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I don't know. I guess if they're paying Brock to do it, then it makes sense. He would do it. He'll do it. He seems so happy right now. Like, and I don't know. Like, it just maybe he's just a good actor now. But like, his character is really dope. Kind of, and it's the only thing I did like is like any of the clips I've seen of Brock. I'm like, oh, I love this version. But I've told y'all before, he's like one of my favorite wrestlers too. So. I don't know. I guess he's just going to keep doing whatever WWE wants as long as they keep paying him.
Awful. And by the way,
I hate his character right now. I can't stand Brock Lesnar's character right now.
Really? I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't like it at all. But, you know,
reminds me of when he was carrying
a boombox
around.
Hearing him talk and stuff, like, I mean, it's abnormal. And it's not used to the Brock Lesnar that I'm used to seeing, but you know what? If he can fucking deliver at the end of the day, you know, I might say, you know, it was a good run. But right now,
yeah.
You know, it's out there. It's a hung jury right now.
But the biggest offense of what happened on last night's show was the fucking crowd. My God. This crowd last night was so fucking dead. They were so dead for everybody. It didn't matter who the fuck you were. This crowd did not give a fuck who you were.
Sons of bitches.
Give a fuck about them. They didn't cheer for anybody. They were dead silent. It was silent. The crowds are getting worse and worse each week. And guess what I just found out, right? They sold only 6,000 tickets last night, and they gave out 2,000 for fucking free.
Oh, yeah.
Two.
They tapered the shit out of it.
Fucking
and, you know, the reason they do that is because, you know, they fucking, they have to. Here in Houston, they fucking are papering the shit out of the fucking the Texans
stadium seats.
Yeah, the Texans games on 610 alone. That's one station here. Okay, you can fucking get tickets every hour.
They're giving away tickets and shit.
So
let me put myself on here. Yeah. So every fucking hour, they're giving away tickets, and you know, and that's the way it is because the team fucking sucks. The team fucking sucks ass, and that's why they're doing it, and that's why, and it's called papering. They're papering the fucking arena, and they have no choice. They have to do this shit. So that's the way it is. We're going to take a station ID and we'll be right back after these words. Big Boy Radio.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Place where no one follows me.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Mr. Sinister, sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And we are catching you up on all the latest madness in the wacky world of professional wrestling, if you will. Christian?
The draft was fucking garbage. It was trash. It was a waste of time. These picks were fucking wasteful. It didn't fucking matter. This year sucked. And Drew's going to be buried by Roman. And I don't know who the fuck is left for Roman to face at this point.
So realistically, like, Fox is probably committed to Roman Reigns, huh? Like, they're sold on Roman Reigns.
They are sold on it.
I saw them take a jab at WWE. Christian, did you see anything like that? What was the? I saw on a promo. I can't remember exactly where it was, but I saw a promo on a show somewhere where Fox took a jab at USA.
USA is getting fucking shafted, all right? They got shafted in this fucking draft. They didn't get nobody fucking good in this draft. They had Edge, but realistically, you think Edge is going to stay full-time on a fucking three-hour show? Get fucked. No. They got absolutely fucking shafted. Raw is fucking screwed. The women's division is fucking screwed. They're all screwed. Hello?
Yeah, no, I was listening. Is Chuck still there?
I have no idea. Oh, my God.
Ay, Dios mío.
What happened?
Yeah. Scared me, Chuck. I was listening to you. No, I mean, I agree. I told you at the beginning of it all, like, I didn't think that much into the draft aspect of it, of how it messed it all up. But, I mean, the draft was just boring, too. You had Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville doing it. And I'm like, this is not hype. Like, I don't know. Maybe if I took a break from WWE and came back and watched it, I would like it again.
Hey, but, Kenny, I'm telling you, man, I've done that. I've done it many a time. In the time. See, we started doing this show. It was Albert, Kevier, Bates and myself started this show. I don't know what year it was. I really honestly don't keep up with that type of shit. To me, it's
I don't know. It's like 2015, 20. I feel like it was 2016 or something like that.
And then, you know, and then I kept it going. Shortly after that, I kept it going with some other guys. Then I started up with Christian from Philly. And so, like, I've had different cast members and shit, but it's always been this. I've had periods where I've actually stayed away from it. And one of those periods was they actually hosted right here in Houston when they hosted fucking Survivor Series and that shit. I stayed away from all that shit. I was in a fight with WWE at that moment. I couldn't fucking stand the shit they were doing. And right now I'm there again. And right now I have options. And that's the part it's scary. But, you know, I mean, it's drifting us away. My chick and I were watching SmackDown, and we hated it. We couldn't wait till it was over, and then it was over, and we watched Rampage, and that started out badass. And it got horrible ratings, by the way. Rampage got fucking horrific ratings last Friday night. And shame on the fucking people who claimed they're fucking fans and they didn't watch it. It was fucking great.
No, it's because it's not live. That's it. It's because it's not live. That's why.
But still, man, I mean, fuck. I didn't read about it. I didn't know who was going to win, although you had to know Bree Daniels said it was going to win.
But WWE's gotten so bad, Shane McMahon's fucking gone again. He left the company again.
Oh, yeah. And can you blame him?
No. But then again, he wasn't good at it either, but his fucking stupid idea of fucking Raw Underground. So good fucking riddance, you stupid fuck. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, man. Next week I'll try to not hate the show as
man,
much next week.
It's like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck he's gonna try to do here with this whole NXT shit. But I don't think it's going to go well.
No.
I think he's going to try to recreate like a Hulk Hogan type era is where I think he's going with this shit. And it won't end well.
With that, I would say go fuck yourself. I would say go fuck yourself. Nobody wants to be the next Hulk Hogan. The guy is not. The guy is hated right now. So, if you want to be him,
yeah,
then you're fucked.
He's just making us like a sustainable road show, not as much as like a popular TV show. Like it's not a war for TV for WWE. They don't have to make compelling TV. That's not why people are watching their product. It doesn't have to be compelling or make sense. It just has to be people in tights grabbing each other.
Make it fucking good.
Damn, that's perverse.
Well, I'm just saying that's how he views it, and I think it's bullshit. They should make a good TV show first. They're putting this out on television, like make it compelling television. And that doesn't mean there has to be blood and guts or like graphic stories or anything like that. But shit, I don't know. Make it story. Give it like a timeline and a mythos and stuff more than just like, this is the history of the belt. Like this wrestler actually did something totally fucking different 3 months before this. And you're acting like it never happened.
I love what Britt Baker is doing on AEW. To have a guy like you, Cavier, as a baby face, a liker of the baby faces, but to have you liking her work as a heel, but she's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a man too, though, baby. Britt Baker's just a beautiful lady, you know what I'm saying?
Hey! And we got to give shout-out to Sammy fucking G, Sammy Guevara, the Spanish god.
Yeah. What a beast.
Man. That was a shocker. You guys didn't watch that? I watched it live as it happened, and I was shocked. Christian, what was your reaction?
I was shocked. I was shocked too when Sammy won the title. But you know what? I'm glad he did, because now Miro could go to bigger and better things, possibly a world title reign in the future. Could he be the one to finally end the reign of Kenny Omega? We'll have to wait and see, you know?
Wow.
What happened?
Could be. Could fucking be. What else is left, Christian?
Well, that's about it, really. Like, fucking, the WWE fucking sucks. We have 2 weeks for the Saudi shit. By the way, is that happening on a fucking Saturday or Sunday, people? It's happening at a 12 p.m. Thursday. Not even a fucking...
That's what
not even
that's,
a Sunday or Saturday.
It happens on a Thursday.
12 p.m.
And how are they supposed to do SmackDown that Friday?
At that time.
How are they going to do SmackDown?
I don't know.
They're going to they're probably going to pre-tape it, I would imagine.
No, they're going to have... How the fuck are they going to fly those people to fucking SmackDown
I would imagine they'll pre-tape it before.
Well, that's stupid.
I mean, that's what I would imagine.
I just pray nothing fucking bad better not happen to those people again. They better not get fucking hijacked or fucking held hostage again with the airport to Saudi. Something better not fucking happen bad in that fucking trip, all right? I pray to God these people come home safe.
Lovey, can I have another one of those Deep Ellum beers, please? They're so refreshing.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
You know it's all about the food!
Man, watching this guy come out to the ring with his entrance, Adam Cole, baby, points at his fucking head and makes the audience go, boom. Then he fucking crouches down and shit, and he fucking hulks up and bursts up in the air and shit and makes them say, Adam Cole, baby. Man, that's fucking badass. That's fucking killer how he does that shit. The fans just fucking love this guy.
And you imagine, like, WWE really fucking dropped the ball letting him go, dude.
Man,
like,
I know, dude.
That guy could have been
stockholders.
Top guy.
And shit.
They wanted to change his name. They wanted to change his name.
Yeah. They wanted to cut his hair and fucking make him a manager and fucking... who else is a manager right now on WWE that, like... Fuck, I was
Adam
thinking about
Pearce.
It.
They wanted to manage Keith Lee.
Yeah. I mean, they wanted him to fucking be a manager type. I mean, come on. Get the fuck out of here. Ugh. Such a fucking shame. They really, really dropped the ball, as Albert Inspected said. I mean, imagine. Out of here.
You know it's all about the
I watch this guy fucking come out. And I'm like, how does the audience know to fucking do that? And shit. Dude. Yeah, I mean, it happened overnight. His whole fucking deal happened overnight. They didn't even know the contract was up. He thought his contract was going to be up in January. WWE thought his contract was going to be up in January. All of a sudden, his fucking contract... Thank you, Levy. All of a sudden, his contract came up. He has not even a week, not even a fucking week to fucking come up with a new fucking persona, a new theme song, all that shit. How did he fucking go about doing that? Albert, do you have any idea?
You don't. You don't do it. And you know, it's one of those things, dude, it's like, you're right. The audience had him. He had the audience in the palm of his hands. He had the theme song. He had everything going for him, dude. WWE just really fucking dropped the ball, dude. And like you said, like, you can't just fucking take something that works and turn it into something else within a week's time. It's not going to happen. And I see why he left the company, but it shouldn't have been that way.
Fuck.
They dropped the ball big time.
Fuck them all.
What else we got, Christian?
No, that's about it. That's all I have, and I have to go. I have to go. My phone's about to fucking die.
Well, fucking A. With that, ring the fucking bell, and let's be done with this show. Hey, go. Anybody?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Draft Center, hosted by me, Christian Favilli. See you all next week on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Good night, motherfuckers.
And also check out Christian from Philly this Saturday on the Full Tilt Boogie with Chuck Amok, Christian from Philly. All right. Yeah, Kevier, close this stuff up, my friend.
Yeah. So I feel bad. I feel like I should apologize to my fans, the other baby faces out there that have listened to my opinions and been like, oh, yeah, he's like me. I don't know why I'm so negative about it. It's like, you know, when you do a show like this every week and you got buddies that you plan to watch wrestling and discuss it with them, you're watching wrestling so much and you're trying to, like, see the good in it. But no, it's like at a certain point, like I said, I'm just like, I'm kind of fed up with WWE. I've enjoyed everything I've watched from AEW. And not like where I'm stuck in their butt. Like, I don't love every character. I still don't really like Orange Cassidy. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. But other than that, his Superman punch is cooler than Roman's. I think it just goes in waves. Like, I'm still a wrestling fan at heart. I'm going to like, but man, it's just WWE. This is my takeaway, man. If you want to watch people you love turn into people you hate, then watch WWE, dude, because this will just make your stomach turn. And then, yeah, I'll see you next Tuesday. We'll keep it going. We'll just keep on keeping on and see what happens. But I'm not going to watch something that pisses me off. I'm just going to watch it from a distance.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, NBA West. There's somebody grabbing a guitar there. Albert Inspection, close yourself.
That was a fun show. Had a little minor technical difficulties. Couldn't hear you guys for a minute. I want to apologize for slacking the last few weeks. Apologize to Kevin's fans out there, to the fans of the show, to the two people, the fans out there. Whatever. But thank you guys. It's a great show. Love wrestling. Watch it from afar, like Kevin said. That's what I've been doing. And just enjoy life. Go outside. Go for a walk. Enjoy your partners. Enjoy your family.
Partners. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy yourself, yes.
To the fullest.
Sorry, these closings are always very awkward for me. I don't know why. Everything else is just smooth. And when we get to the closing, I just completely like, what? What am I talking about? And that's how it is. Anyway, good night, everybody. Good night, America.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert Inspected. Hey, each and every week, we come here and we drop the ball and we fucking float with the ball and we go with the ball and we do everything with the ball. And we try to have a ball right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. That's what we try to do. So, hey, we hope you tune in, continue to tune in week after week as we bring you all the news in wrestling, because that's what we do here in comedic fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Internet Radio's own, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it heel, keep it real, keep it heel, keep it real, keep it heel, keep it heel, keep it real, and shit like that. And as always, peace out, motherfuckers. We'll see you next time. Fatal 4-Way Radio.
I
want to
hear your thoughts about this fucking shithole ending. Go ahead.
Okay. Personally, I was checking it out, and then I was like, what the fuck? Okay, the TVs went off. She sees herself in the mirror, and then she sees the reflection of Lily in the background. And when she turns around, and Lily isn't there. So she turns back around, and she says, you're just a doll. You're just a doll. And then she turns around, and it's all fucking a bunch of crazy fucking madness. I'm thinking, what the fuck would Stone Cold Steve Austin think about this shit?
I wasn't letting a little doll try to whoop on my ass. Little doll trying to whoop on the cosmetic redneck's ass. That dose can't whoop ass on Lily.
Fatal 4-Way Radio.
only on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.